Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Glad that you hung around for the second hour of the show. We're going to do a lot of football in this second hour. We're going to jump kind of in and out of the baseball, but a lot of football. Stacey Dales is going to join me. She's been covering both the Bears and the Lions, so we're going to ask her her perspective. Our guy Mark Grody joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from up in Melrose Park, or you can just go to alpamonteford.com. Grotes has been covering the Bears. We are glad it is game week. Grody, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lawrence, and thanks for your patience. I appreciate that. I was just on a Zoom call with David Montgomery, who, of course, has the groin injury. He was limited in practice yesterday. We actually heard from him today, as he put it. He didn't do much in practice, saying that he just wanted to be safe for now. And in the long run, he doesn't want to hurt himself, doesn't want to hurt the team. So he's playing it cool right now. He seems like he's playing the gamesmanship game that the coaches like to play, making it sound like, I don't know, we'll see. I don't know if I'm going to play. I don't know if this is the right thing to do. But deep down inside, I think he's going to play.
Well, I think it's a really good sign that he's going to play. Is the fact that even that he's limited at practice, I think, is a good sign that he's going to play. My only concern is when you're someone whose job it is to make quick cuts, I always worry about injuries like this, because you can try and do it in practice all you want. It's not the same as game speed and game action and the type of force that you would put into a cut to avoid a tackle. So that's my concern, is that he goes out there and instead of going at the 80 to 85% that he's doing it in practice, at 100, he re-injures himself.
No doubt about it. And it's interesting, we talked to Carlos Santos, who is the projected kicker for the Bears this Sunday and probably the 2 weeks thereafter, at least while Eddie Pinheiro is down with his groin injury. But Santos had a groin injury before and talked about how he had regretted coming back early, thinking that he did the wrong thing, that he rushed it. So that might be in the head of David Montgomery at this point. But, you know, one thing he said at the very end of the Zoom call that I was just a part of was somebody asked him about the running game and not asking him to give away anything as far as the scheme is concerned, but kind of like, are things going to be different? And he said, look, I don't want to go into anything specific. I'm afraid I'll give something away. But he kind of smiled and said, it's going to be fun. You know, as if, so that's, I think that's two parts of optimism there. Like, there might be changes in the scheme of the running game. And when he says that, and he says it with a smile, that's somebody talking that plans to at least give it a try on Sunday to play. But we'll wait and find out. They're taking the practice field in about 15 minutes, and then probably around 4 o'clock today we'll get another updated injury report and find out if he participated further today.
Gross, when I was looking at the injury report, the one thing that stood out was that Robert Quinn didn't practice yesterday. He hasn't really been on the practice field a lot over the last couple of weeks, has he?
No, he hasn't. It's been very hot and cold, and I should point out that, yes, Robert Quinn missed practice yesterday with an ankle injury. That was new to all of us as well, because all we had been told or knew was that he had been dealing with some personal issues, and so there was a slow ramp-up, so this pops up yesterday. And so naturally, as cynical, skeptical reporters were like, okay, has this been the deal all along? But Matt Nagy quelled that right away. First thing he said about Robert Quinn was, this is a separate issue from the personal issues he had been dealing with. He would not tell us, though, would not divulge, because he doesn't have to at this point, when that injury occurred. If this was early in camp, if this was an off-season thing, if this popped up, you know, at the end of camp when we weren't privy to some parts of practice. So at this point, we don't know what's going on with the ankle. I can tell you, when I watched him out on the field, when he was doing individual work and towards the end of the proverbial ramp up, he looked good. I saw him doing sprints, which is really encouraging, because usually during a ramp up or during work with a trainer, you're not going to see that. But I saw that, and I saw his quickness, and my thought was, watching him, wow, Robert Quinn is a terrific athlete, because I obviously had never seen him close up. But now this, and we're all in the dark a little bit on what exactly is going on. And again, we will get that injury report later on today, and hopefully there'll be better news surrounding Robert Quinn, because that's not good going into week one if he is not there.
What are the Bears hoping that Quinn provides them defensively?
Well, I think that because everybody talks about him being this decoy, so they can unleash Khalil Mack back to his full powers, which didn't seem to be there last year. I think they would very much like Robert Quinn to knock the quarterback down too, because they were desperate for Leonard Floyd to do the same in the past. And even though there was a lot of talk from various linebackers coaches like Ted Monachino last year that Leonard Floyd did all this other stuff and he's one of the best linebackers in that spot that I've ever seen and all the things that he does, they really wanted him to sack the quarterback. Let's be honest. He's an edge rusher, outside linebacker. That's the job. So they, yes, of course they want Quinn to compliment Khalil Mack and make life easier for them, but they would like double-digit sacks out of Robert Quinn like he had last year. They want him to be a force to keep everything honest on the defense. He is why, I think, to a large degree, you could say a lot of people are around the NFL and scouts and those who prognosticate expect the Bears to return to elite status, which they weren't last year. The Bears defense was good last year, and there's a lot of stats that'll say that. You could even use the word great at times, but they weren't. They were not elite. They were elite in 2018, and I think that Quinn is a guy that they expect to get them back to being somewhere around that elite status, top five in the NFL defensively.
Who do you expect to start as strong safety?
Well, I think it's going to be Tashawn Gibson starting there, but that does not mean that we won't see a lot of Deion Bush. It's so interesting because last year, it was almost a repeat. So last year in Bourbonnais, it was Deion Bush and HaHa Clinton Dix. There was no competition necessarily. Nobody ever said that. It was HaHa Clinton Dix's job coming into camp in Bourbonnais. But as we watched it, it almost looked like it was a competition because Bush got a ton of playing time. Same deal in this year's camp where Bush was out there a lot to the point where some of us thought, maybe it's Deion Bush and he'd be a great fit because he fits that strong safety mode in a very classic way. But it looks like it's going to be Gibson. But I think that Bush will play a lot as he did last year earlier, and there could be some rotation. And if Gibson doesn't perform or do what they want him to do, then you will see a lot more of Deion Bush. But I do think that it's Gibson's job to start.
Okay. And Jalen Johnson, are they expecting that he's going to be good to go and he's going to be opposite of Kyle Fuller?
That's the plan. I mean, I asked him on one of our Zoom calls. I said, trying to get right to the bottom of it, have you been told that you are a starter? Can you confirm that against Detroit? And he said, yes, that is the case, that he will be starting. It's not just the look of being on the top of a depth chart, because sometimes that doesn't mean anything. So that's why I asked him the question. So Yeah, I mean, if you, when people did ask me before camp started or even when they drafted him, I didn't think this would happen. I did not think that the Bears would have a rookie starting at cornerback in a truncated offseason, knowing how important that position is, and he gets thrown right into the fire against a talented group of receivers with Detroit, and obviously an extremely capable and at times a very good star-like quarterback in Matthew Stafford. So it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, I'm glad he's starting. I was just a little surprised the way it all went down with the competition at cornerback.
Mark Grody joining us here. He covers the Bears for us here on The Score, and he does an incredible job doing sidelines for our sister station, 105.9 FM, WBBM, News Radio, 780 and 105.9. We're going to hear the pipes this weekend. It's going to be great. I was a little bit surprised, and we had some fun with it yesterday on the show. I was hiding in the back of the Ryan Pace press conference, and when he started talking about Jimmy Graham, I was like, oh, here we go. Here's New Orleans again. We're going to do the New Orleans thing again.
Sure.
It didn't bother me when he was talking about what Graham has done with his pass catching. I did chuckle when he started talking about how he thinks that Jimmy Graham has improved as a blocker. Here's what I want to know. Have the guys that are coaching felt similarly to Ryan Pace? What have you heard from them about what they've seen from Jimmy Graham?
I don't know if that matters or not, what they're saying, because of course they're going to say that he's improved in blocking. I will bet, and I don't have proof of this, but I'm sure we could probably find it, Lawrence, that if you went back every year of his career, Jimmy Graham's career, in off seasons, coaches probably said in training camps back in New Orleans or Seattle or Green Bay, they probably all said the same thing. Oh, yeah, you know, Jimmy Graham, he's a great pass catcher. But, man, I got to tell you, the blocking has improved, too. The blocking. When nobody really has cared about his blocking because he is such a potent pass catcher. You know what I mean? Like, deep down inside, even the coaches don't care about the blocking. Yes, it's really fun to ask the question and to get the answer and say, yeah, no, but really, we just want you to catch the damn football. That's really what you're there for. He was so good at catching the football at one point in his career, he was trying to get wide receiver money. So, I mean, that is his existence. And if they want to say that he's gotten better at blocking, that's fine. We'll see. But I don't know how that's possible at this point in his career. And he's made his NFL life, and for the most part, a really, really good NFL life, as being one who catches passes.
Yeah, that's the case. I haven't had a chance to talk with you about this, so I was hoping that we could do it now. What did you think of the Bears quarterback competition?
Well, in watching it, I did think that Trubisky was better. It doesn't mean that he was great. It doesn't mean that he did anything, you know, that was discernible really from what he did in camp last year. So I think that they, in terms of a 50-50 competition, as they said it was, and I believe it was, I think that Mitchell Trubisky won it fair and square. Here, though, was my takeaway on exactly why Trubisky got the job. Not only did he look better in practice, and not by a ton. It wasn't like a slam dunk, obvious, oh, it's absolutely Trubisky, by no means. But I think that from the words that I heard from Nick Foles, that was the most important part to me. I think that Nick Foles didn't get this job because he did not yet have command of this offense. And I know that sounds crazy because he has experience in this offense, but not this specific offense with the language that exists and some of the plays that exist. I just don't think he was completely comfortable yet, because he said, and I'm actually looking at some quotes right now, that he's getting more comfortable with the concepts that he hadn't repped a lot, and that he was starting to get more comfortable. This is what Nick Foles said. He said he showed some progression with the offense, getting more comfortable with concepts. He said stuff that maybe he hadn't repped a lot and starting to believe in why those plays were worked and why they are executing them. So it sounds like it took some time for Nick Foles to be sold on the offense, to be sold on the plays, and to truly get it in his brain. As smart as he is, as well as he knows the coaches, I just don't think he had enough time to get ready in this offense. I think that that's what it came down to. And there probably came a point, and a point at which we don't know, going back, and we'll probably never know, where the coaches said, you know what, it's got to be Mitch, just because there's not enough time for Nick Foles to catch up. I think things might have been different if there were preseason games, or if there had been OTAs was another thing that Foles pointed to, that he didn't have that to kind of, as he put it, wipe off the cobwebs. I mean, he mentioned that. He also mentioned, and he was very careful not to make this as an overall excuse, but he did say it was, you know, strange, you know, times with moving his family and not having the offseason that Trubisky had with some of the other players. So a lot of this, Lawrence, has to do with Nick Foles just not being completely up to speed with this Bears offense yet.
What do you believe of what they've told you about the improvements that Mitch has made?
Let's just wait for the game. I mean, because
it's a good answer.
You know, in the past, I would have probably repeated what the coaching staff had said, and I probably did. And I probably did believe some of that too. But even Matt Nagy said in his Zoom right after this was announced that this has to translate to the he won the quarterback competition. Mitch was very good in practice. He was good in camp. He says, but now it has to happen in the game. Ryan Pace made a short comment about the same thing. It has to happen in the game, because we've all, Bears fans have heard it, that Mitch Trubisky has always been a good practice player that hasn't always translated to the game. So I'm not even going to comment on anything that he might have improved on, because they've said, I mean, really, I can go through it, that his decision-making has improved. His downfield passing has improved. He's better at lining up the offensive line. But we've heard all of this before, so let's just all wait and see if it translates to the game, because that is completely the key with Trubisky. At this point, forget the words.
I know that everyone in the NFL is in the same boat when it comes to this, but I am curious on, had the Bears allowed me to ask a question in the press conferences I was in, I would have asked this question.
But, hey, next time, just tell me. I'll take care of you, Lawrence.
All right, good, good. I gotta get in good with a good beat reporter like yourself to get a question asked up there at Hallis Hall. I'm curious on what they've said about trying to prepare without game tape from the summer. With Detroit, obviously, you have an idea because they're in your division. You play them twice a year. You kind of know what their coach is all about. I suspect he'll still play man, and that Trubisky will eat his lunch if he does do it. but I do wonder if there is a level of difficulty in trying to prepare for a team that has a couple of new players here and there. They've added new draft picks, and trying to figure out how they're going to use those players without having any tape of what they look like this preseason.
Yeah, I do think that puts both teams at a bit of a disadvantage because, and I say that because how often, I mean, in just about every sentence of any question that we do ask, and I really hope you get some questions in this year, Lawrence, but when we ask questions, so often the answer is something about the tape. Oh, I've got to go look at the tape. I've got to review the tape. We won't know until we look at the tape. So not having that, something that coaches and players have come to depend on maybe too much in this era, that, yeah, I mean, there will be some of that. And I think you made a good point right away, though, because it is Detroit, that does make it a slightly easier situation because they do know Detroit. But, yeah, they don't know what the tendencies are right now of a Jeff Okuda unless they want to go back and look at his tape from college. So, yeah, of course, I think that's a little bit of a disadvantage, and I think that's going to hurt the Bears, you know, even more with some other teams, although they'll have actual season tape on, you know, the Giants and Atlanta, but they are, in general, less familiar with those teams. But, yeah, we'll see how it plays out, and I guess, you know, a standard go-to answer with all of this is that all NFL teams are on the same page or on equal footing with these quote-unquote disadvantages.
You all talk with Khalil Mack on the Peloton. Is he all right? Or I was shocked to see him on the injury report too.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. That one I had no inkling was coming up, but he's got a knee injury. Asked Matt Nagy about that, and he said that he would not share any specifics about when it happened, where it happened, why it happened, but he was out there yesterday just going easy on it. So when we talked to him on the Peloton, the really interesting part about that is he was asked about last year, and hey, was asked directly, was there any kind of injury that may have contributed to you not having a monster Khalil Mack type of season? And he neither denied nor confirmed. You know, he just said, look, I'm not using that as an excuse and moving forward and all that kind of stuff. So that leads me to believe that, yes, Khalil Mack probably was dealing with some sort of injury last year. Might it have been the knee? You know, who knows? I mean, that's a real possibility, and we'll find out more today. But I guess the good news is that he was out there, and it'd probably be pretty difficult to keep Khalil Mack out of an opener in Detroit. And considering the fact, too, if you were on that Pace, Ryan Pace phone call, the Zoom call with him the other day, he said this is like, yeah, he was one of the great off seasons that he's ever seen from a guy. And Pace was even, you know, kind of having fun with the idea that Mack was on the Peloton. He said, oh, that was classic Khalil Mack this entire offseason, the monster offseason that he had had. So this is a little surprise. I wish I could give you more details, but they're not providing them in terms of how it happened or how severe it might be.
What was interesting about what George McCaskey had to say?
Well, George, you know, as far as the actual team is concerned, one thing that is interesting is that he stayed away. He was at Halas Hall today to do the Zoom call with us, but he said that that's only the second time he's been in Lake Forest since March. So, and he's usually very present during camp. He's out there every single day, hours at a time. He was not out there one single time. So he was funny because he was asked about the quarterback. Hey, what'd you think about the quarterback competition? Well, I didn't really see it. As a matter of fact, I haven't even met Nick Foles. So he's kind of like the rest of us. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the rest of us, you know, just kind of, well, no, actually, I've met Nick Foles. So I might have a step further on him. But, yeah, so I thought that was an interesting part of it. He talked about the fans, too. He is not ruling out the possibility of there being fans at Soldier Field this year. He says that they're talking to the city, working with the city. He says they're not pushing the city, and they are all about listening. And if, you know, numbers go down and they deem it 100% healthy and they can do it in a practical manner, they said that they would allow fans to come back there as well. So we'll see. I'm doubtful that it's going to happen, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. Another thing that he talked about was, Lawrence, the Brian Urlacher comments centering on Jacob Blake. And McCaskey said his first thought was, which was actually my first thought, was that maybe his account had been hacked. And McCaskey also said that he was not going to judge Urlacher on this until he speaks to him. He said that he has reached out to Urlacher, tried to call him, but has not heard back from him. So he wants to have that conversation, and then maybe he would comment further on it. But, you know, he spoke glowingly of Urlacher and the guy that he thinks that he is. So we'll see if we get any kind of update on that.
Groats, excellent report as always. I thank you so much for your time.
You got it, Lawrence. Thanks for being patient with me, man.
No, please. It was well worth it. That is Mark Grody. He covers the Bears for us here at The Score and on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The White Sox have placed Dallas Keuchel on the IL. He was throwing yesterday. They've recalled Reynaldo Lopez. I suspect that this is just to give Keuchel some days off and get him some treatment, and that he should be back. He's not going to make his next start. Hopefully he makes the start after that. It's retroactive to the last time that he pitched. We need to take a break. When we come back, Stacey Dales is going to join us. She's been covering the Bears and the Lions. We'll get her thoughts on this matchup coming up next here on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
Jed Hoyer.
2020, from a financial standpoint, has been, you know, such a huge negative on the country. Baseball is no different, and we've been hit very hard, and obviously we've had to make, you know, a bunch of layoffs. We have no sense of what 21 is going to look like, and that's going to make the budgeting process challenging.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
The football season starts in a few hours. The Bears season starts on Sunday. Stacey Dales has been doing an incredible job covering both the Bears and the Lions for NFL Network. She covers the entire league, but we're lucky that we get her this week being on the Bears beat as the season gets ready to open up. She joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from in Melrose Park, or you can just go to alpamonteford.com. Stacey, thanks so much. I appreciate you jumping in the middle of all the Zooms that are going on between the two teams.
Well, anytime I can come on with you, Lawrence, I'm all for it. Thank you so much for having me. I'm kind of like, I have like a Zoom brain freeze. And you know when you were a kid and you drank like a cold drink really fast and it went right to your head like a slushy? I have like that feeling in my head when I'm on a Zoom now.
So, I mean, in this new world that we're in, what's it been like to cover the NFL this way?
It's been fascinating to watch us all adapt. I mean, right down to the PR staff, the communication departments, and how they're, you know, basically implementing all these Zooms and organizing and orchestrating. It's just been an undertaking. I've been really impressed with all the teams across the board. I've gotten out to a few training camps. That was interesting. I mean, you're working out of a porta potty, which is not favorable in a pandemic. So, you know, I'm not kidding you. That's the bathrooms for the media. So it's been a learning process, I'll say, for all of us through training camp, and now we get ready for the regular season.
Yeah, I'm sure that it has been a rough deal, especially if that's how I saw it on Hard Knocks when they were talking about that, when they were joking about the porta potties in the media. So. It's good to get confirmation that is exactly what was going on with the media. What was it like for you to kind of watch the Bears come to the decision that Mitch was going to be the guy, at least first up?
I thought it was extremely calculated by this staff, done the right way from everybody that I've talked to and, you know, my observations, as you ask, Lawrence. I mean, when you hear Matt Nagy say on every Zoom call, these reps are right down the middle, I believe him. You know, I mean, for them to go back and look at every rep and give every opportunity equally, right down the middle, and whatever drills they were doing, you could split the field, whatever they did, it was, to me, fair and square. My takeaway is just I'm so impressed with what I now understand the work Trubisky put in this offseason. I credit Foles for coming in during a pandemic, moving his family here, a newborn, and he's such a great guy. But, you know, to see what Trubisky did this offseason with throw it deep, Jeff Christensen, the work that he put in, Allen Robinson, you know, we were on with him this week via Zoom, and he said, I was there. January, February, March, there weren't many of us, but I was one of the ones working with him, and I saw it firsthand. So to hear Allen Robinson, who to me is one of the finest receivers in the entire league, to hear him say that, I think it speaks volumes.
Outside of the quarterbacks, what's something about the Bears that you're excited to see?
The tight ends, how they use them. Jimmy Graham, Demetrius Harris, and Cole Kmet. I'll never forget Kmet telling us he tries to model his game after Rob Gronkowski. There's an indication for your listeners right now of how he wants to play. And then the defense. I want to see Akeem Hicks basically control the line of scrimmage the way that we've seen him do the past few years now that he's healthy. Cannot wait to see that. Cannot wait to see if Robert Quinn is healthy. He's been dealing with an ankle injury. From what we understand, how he takes some of the, I don't want to even say pressure off of Khalil Mack, but he is a certified bona fide pass rusher. He had the second most pressures in the NFL, 11 and a half sacks, according to Next Gen Stats, last year for the Dallas Cowboys. Okay. I mean, he's been in the league for what, a decade? And he had 11 and a half sacks last year. So how does that impact Khalil Mack, who I think last year, I mean, it's not for lack of effort, whatever he was, you know, facing. I mean, he's getting double, triple teamed because you have injuries across the board up front, I mean, that's an issue. So I am just anxious to see if this defense can not get back to what we saw last year, because they were good last year, but what we saw in 2018 when they had 50 sacks, 36 takeaways, and basically dominated the National Football League.
Stacey Dales of the NFL Network is joining me here on The Score, and we're talking about the Bears and the Lions. I know that you spent some time dealing with the Lions as well. They've got a new defensive coordinator, and the biggest question in my mind, Stacey, for this game is Matt Patricia going to continue to play man against the Bears? What type of impact do you think adding a new coordinator on the defensive side has made on Detroit?
Well, not only adding one, right, in Corey Unlin, Lawrence, but, like, now you're going to call the plays. Like, giving up your play call duties if you're Matt Patricia, that's a big deal. And the scheme hasn't worked. It was interesting, to your point, to listen to Anthony Miller, receiver for the Bears. He was asked this week, because they've won four in a row now against these Lions. In fact, the Lions haven't defeated the Bears since 2017. Like, it's been a long time. And his response was, I'm paraphrasing here, this is not a quote, but a paraphrase. Basically, well, we know their scheme. We've got it figured out. We knew exactly how to attack their scheme. Like, as if to say, we know what they do, and it's not, like, it's not good enough. We're better. So, you know, when Trubisky has, like, a 75% completion rate against this defense, I think, and you look at the numbers last year, for Detroit, 31st total defense. They were the worst passing defense in the NFL. They didn't sack the quarterback. They didn't get after the quarterback. I mean, they were at the bottom of the barrel in a number of metrics, almost every statistical metric. So I'll be, to your point, fascinated to see the coordinator change, how the play calls are. You mentioned man. Do we see more zone? I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they come out of the gate, especially with a lot of new faces. I mean, I don't know how many Patriots are on this defense at this stage, but you got Jamie Collins added. You know, Duron Harmon in the secondary, Danny Shelton. I mean, Trey Flowers a couple of years ago. You got all these Patriots, Jeff Okuda, the rookie in the secondary, and then Dez Trufant, the savvy veteran. It'll be fun to watch and see who has improved. You know, the 29th total offense from last year or the 31st total defense.
Yeah, you're right. It'll be interesting to see how these two teams match up. Stacey Dales of the NFL Network joining me here. Follow her on Twitter at Stacey Dales. And be prepared that if you don't come correct on Twitter, you will get dunked on by Stacey. Like, that will happen. You start talking sideways about her athletic feats, you will get dunked on. I got to ask you, because I have fun with Thomas Jones about this. Thomas Jones, like, if you look up Thomas Jones on Wikipedia now,
The
first sentence is Thomas Jones is an American actor. Not Thomas Jones is a running back that went for 10,000 yards in the league. At this point in your career, are you Stacey Dales the basketball player or Stacey Dales the reporter?
So, by the way, we've been talking, and I just looked up Thomas Jones, and Wikipedia says Thomas Jones is an American actor who performs as Thomas Q. Jones.
Right.
Okay, so I was a Hooper one, you know, a long time ago. I am Stacey Dales, the reporter journalist now. A lot of, you know, it's funny because a lot of players, they find out I play basketball. They're like, what? You play ball? And I'm like, I know I'm really dainty and ladylike now, but like, I used to be a scrapper on the court. Trust me. I would, you know, set the hardest pick or screen that, you know, I could. So I guess that's the case.
Stacey, I'm not going to have you up here lying on the Score airwaves like you were just some role player. Didn't they retire your jersey at Oklahoma?
That may have happened. Correct. That may have happened, but, you know, I guess over the years I reflect back. I played basketball, Lawrence, for like over 20 years, and I'm so grateful for it because in all seriousness, just, you know, being part of a team and figuring out how to build something, like, it's helped me in my journalism career, right? Like, what you and I do, you know, one of the reasons you're so gifted at what you do is because people, you know, you have this relatability. You can talk to people. You're conversationalist. You know, you just have an insight into reading people. And I like to think that part of what I do well is similar to that, you know, when I talk with players or coaches, because I really come at it from the trenches in a way. And I think that it can be relatable. So I'm grateful because the basketball, you know, landed me, I guess, in this world of TV, and it's been quite a journey.
It has, and you've done an incredible job, but let's not act like you were just some regular role player. Like, you don't get to be on a national team and have your jersey retired if you just also ran. So let's pay proper respect to Ball Is Life, because every now and again I'll see you pop up on Instagram like, oh, just happened to be in the gym, thought I would do some drills, and you're out there doing work. So let's pay proper respect to how you used to get down back in the day.
Well, I appreciate it. That's really sweet of you. Yeah, my ego just grew a little bit today, so thank you, Lauren.
All right, good. That's what we are here for. Have a wonderful time covering this game, and I hope that we get a chance to talk again on the air throughout the season.
Anytime. Love joining you. Appreciate you.
I'll talk to you soon. That is Stacey Dales. Stacey was busting my stones because I popped up in the Zoom. They were all like, what are you doing here? Like, I like to hide in these and hear what's going on. But Stacey is the truth. And I'm not playing. Like, look up her basketball career. She was no joke. For real, for real. I want to talk a little bit more about this Dallas Keuchel to the injured list thing. We'll do that next here on The Score.
The Score is Chicago sports.
Chicago sports is The Score.
We've been doing it for almost three decades now, and we thank you for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. We're live and we're local. 670 The Score is a radio.com sports station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.